So for today's message, I've been spending 2 weeks, last week and now this week, on the greatest commandment. What does it mean to love God? And last week, I really hit on three kind of core practices and how we can actually cultivate a relationship with God and also love God. And the core practices were Scripture and Sabbath and prayer. And this week, my plan was, and I even started planning it all out this way, that I was going to give you a whole smorgasbord of more things that you could do to engage in growing and developing and cultivating a relationship with God of love. And the further the week went, the more I was in preparation and things, I was led to this. Mark, go back now and do it again. Scripture, prayer, Sabbath. Because here's something that came to my mind. It's like every week, right, I'm up here giving messages, and we hope that it makes some impact in our life. In fact, it should make some impact in my life, right, the things that come out of that. And I almost want to ask the question, like, how'd it go? How'd it go? Engaging Scripture this week. Being in a continual kind of conversation with God in a life of prayer. How did it go with practicing Sabbath? Now, I know we need run-ups to these and we need time to develop these things and we're all at different places. But today, what we're going to do is we're going to go through these things again in hopefully some different language and in a different way to allow the Spirit to actually take what we heard last week and actually go deeper this week and maybe even make more impact for us. So today, loving God. Next week, we're going to go loving your neighbor, and then I'll be gone for a week. We have a guest pastor who's coming. His name is Rich Bledsoe. He has lived here almost his entire life. He's been involved in Christian ministry in Boulder, has seen a lot of change, been through a lot of change. He's currently semi-retired. He does some work yet for Grace Commons. But Rich and I met this week, and he was one of the first people who met me when I came here 10 years ago, wanting to meet, make sure I'm getting grounded. Here's the places you can connect, right, with other ministries and other people. Here's sort of the lay of the land. I am really grateful to Rich for that, and he's kind of a sage of faith and well-known among the pastors here in Boulder. So you get to have Rich in a couple weeks, and I'm so glad for that. So, loving God. The kingdom of God is like loving God and cultivating a relationship with God. And I had on here, what else, what more, but instead we're going to go, let's go deeper to find out more, right, about what God has in store with these things. I want to ask you a question, and I just want you to try and answer it and briefly or whatever comes to your mind as quickly as possible this morning before I officially get into it here. Why love God? Why? Excellent. I would like you to talk with your neighbor. Why love God? We've got one core one. I heard Ruthie say it, right? Because God first loved us. That's why we love God. But why love God? This is a critical question for us today. So think about it, and I'm going to give you a minute to share it with your neighbor. Whenever you're ready, go ahead. We're not going to take a ton of time to do it. Why love God? All right. I know that's not a lot of time. When you had your first reaction to the question, why love God, and you thought about it personally for yourself, what would you say? Let's hear a couple answers. Just quick raise your hand and I'll quick point and let's hear a couple of these things. Why love God? Bev? We're free and we have hope. Debbie?
Because he's good and kind and loving and forgiving.
Because he's good and kind and loving, forgiving. Anyone else? Why love God? Yes. Is that Riley?
It's me, yeah.
I don't have my glasses on.
I said personally to pursue that transformation, to let him transform you.
To pursue being transformed, to allow him. To loving God is a way there. Anyone else? Sue?
I said it's a natural response to the way he's loved us. Just, you know, we've
yes. Yes. Just a response to his love. Whatever way it comes to us. Did I see Muffy?
Because we were made to love and adore him.
We were made to love him. Do you hear a little different things in all these answers? Why love God? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Psalm 24, verse 1. Why love God? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Who gave us breath? God. Why love God? We were created to love God. Designed to love God. Every one of us as human beings have been created in the image of God. Why love God? Because that's what God made us for, created us for. And why love God? Well, because God first loved us, we heard. See, we've been created and called by God to love God. So how are we to love God? Well, a different question, right? How? Well, the greatest commandment that is already in the Old Testament given to God's people way back then, I believe this is the seed that was in Adam and Eve's heart. It's actually probably the thing of the commandment they broke in the very beginning that brought sin into the world. You've been made and created. I've called you to love me with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. All of your being, you are to love me. This is the greatest commandment. How do we do it? Well, with our whole selves. God has also given us scripture. He gives us Sabbath rest. He invites us into prayer, a loving relationship with him. Each of these things are core to cultivating a relationship with God. So I asked the question, how's that going? Last week, I'm not sure I asked that question that way. How is this going in your own life, cultivating a relationship with him? What does it look like? We talked about scripture first, and I want to look at some different things about it, and maybe it highlights it in a different way that even clicks somehow even more. God has revealed himself in scripture, right there in the pages of what we can read, what we can hear. His love for us, his plan for the whole world, his plan of salvation for all things. His will and his ways. He reveals himself to us in the pages. What a gift. Charles Spurgeon says, nobody ever outgrows scripture. It only deepens and widens with our years of engagement with it. I actually am starting to get a little taste of this. I mean, I grew up in a Christian home. I sort of had scripture as a part of my life. I even went to a Christian school where I would also hear and be reinforced with more scripture. I'd go to church. All these things, right, were important. But until and as it sinks deep into my own heart and I receive it for myself and then I engage and cultivate in it, you see, that's quite different. Cultivating a relationship with God of life and of love. Through the pages of Scripture. It's true. The longer we engage with it, we will never outgrow Scripture. It's ever blooming and it's life-giving fruit. So how's it going with your engagement. There are so many ways to engage Scripture today. I mean, more than ever before, if you think about it, like, I think it's all a good thing. But this is why God's people would gather just to hear the Scripture, because a lot of it was oral tradition for so long. Then in the 16th century, we have the invention of the printing press, and all of a sudden it starts to explode because people can read it for themselves, starting to discover the gospel. Well, today you can get it on audio. You can watch it on video. It can be dramatized. It can just be words. You can get a Bible easily, and you can get in a lot of versions. You can even get study Bibles. I mean, the access to it hopefully is not too much where we do nothing, but actually great tools to be able to use. So how's it going? Augustine says the Holy Scriptures are our letters from home. And home, yes, he probably has heaven in mind. He has the new heavens and the new earth, whatever that's going to be, this eternal life that is to come. But I think home is where the heart is. And Jesus talks about this, to find your treasure, right, in heaven. Things that will not perish, things that will last forever in a relationship with God is that. And Scripture are our letters from home. The heart that fully belongs to God is truly home. And one can find one's home in God. He invites us to do that. And we find it in Scripture. There have been two songs this week that have captured my attention. I mean, one just overwhelmed me on a bike ride. Another, it's just whatever. My heart must have been right to receive it. But it was like overcome with joy and tears. And with it, it's just like a flood of gratitude. This doesn't happen to me all the time. But when it does, I'm like overjoyed. And one of the songs was by Phil Wickham. And Homesick for Heaven. And he's singing along. It's a fun song. It's got some great rhythm. It's got some great vocals. And, you know, if you watch Phil Wickham, you just see him. He dances when he sings. I like that. My heart belongs to a country and a king. Yes, it does. I know it takes faith, but today you can know without question, believe in the power of Jesus' name. No more fear, no more pain, every tear wiped away, where death is a memory and tears are no more. And then came this line as the song crescendos. He's listing all these things, like, I want to dance with David, right? I want to walk with Moses. I mean, he's just kind of imagining. And then he says, to watch my children run into your arms. And that was it. I immediately thought of my grandchildren, too. How does something like the Christian faith get passed on? Well, it certainly begins with me in my engagement in cultivating a relationship with God that is real, that is seen, that is known. And you pray, right, that, wow. To be able to see your children and grandchildren. I know today in this place, right? There's like our kids and grandkids are all over the place when it comes to faith. How is it going for you when it comes to cultivating that relationship with God? To love God is what we were created for, redeemed for, and called by God for. To run into his arms. That's what we were made for. How can we do it? Well, we can meditate on Scripture day and night. One more quote. Martin Luther says this, something similar. The Bible is the cradle in which Christ is found. It is Jesus who is Lord of all creation. It's Jesus who is Lord of our lives, the one who calls us to follow him and walks with us always. Loving God is all about cultivating a relationship with God and with the person of Jesus. So I know last week, I'm just going to give it to you again because I'm trying to make it simpler and simpler. This is our text of the quarter. And if you memorize this and make it a part of your heart, this will guide you quite clearly in when it comes to what we are to do with Scripture in developing and growing a life with Christ. Haggah is a Hebrew word in there. We meditate on it. Halak is a word in there. We walk in it. Hazak is a word in those verses that says be strong in it. This is something we can learn. It's something we can share. It's something we can live into that is easy to remember. Engaging in Scripture to take it in. I want to give you again what Scripture says about itself. God's Word, this is what we believe about Scripture. It's God-inspired, Holy Spirit-inspired, every bit of it. It's perfect. It's trustworthy. It's altogether righteous. It's radiant. It's pure. It endures forever. Isaiah talks about that. It's more precious than gold, sweeter than honey, refreshes the soul, makes wise the simple, gives joy to the heart, gives light to the eyes, guiding our steps, lighting our way. There you go. That's my wrap for the morning. What can we do? Remember, this was the question asked at Pentecost when they were cut to the heart. We can submit to it. Submit to it. To take it in, to walk it out, to be strong in it. So how do we love God? What does it mean? What are we to do? I want to go back to prayer, what we introduced last week. We looked at God's Word. We looked at Scripture. We looked at Philippians chapter 2:4, actually, Philippians 4. That's wrong, whoever wrote that. Pray continually. In everything, which means everything, with thanksgiving, which means actually with gratitude, present your life to God, living sacrifice. Romans 12, Philippians 4 talks about it in terms of just make every request known to God. I've been thinking about this more because I think this is something that I think I can live into more, much more. Where, you know, I told you about my struggle about prayer, right? Where sometimes I'm like, well, God knows already, and, you know, I'm kind of talking to him. You know, he knows my thoughts and his. I'm not sure that's a great way to cultivate a relationship. You know, it's a good thing to affirm God's sovereignty, but it doesn't cultivate an ongoing relationship with him. One of it is, I mentioned it last week, is like when you are in a situation with someone and there's something that the Spirit is screaming at you about prayer, I'll pray about this, I'm going to pray about this, do it right there with the person. Just do it right there, trust the Holy Spirit and do it. Your life is a continual prayer. What happens is it gets put on the shelf or you forget about it until you see him. It happens. Make it a part of your rhythm every day. I wonder, too, about, like, as you go through the day, trying to be conscious of God's presence with us in such a way that we're almost like breath prayer every day. Now, not breath prayer in the term of traditional spiritual discipline, breath prayer, really, but that we're just simply, like, in a breath prayer constantly with God, like, oh, thank you, God, for that. Or, oh, Lord, would you help in this situation? Like, so that our life is cultivating that life of prayer that's continual. I think these are simple things that we can do. And so I want to ask, like, after last week, how's it going? Well, the beautiful thing about coming to church with some regularity or being steeped in the Word, you can engage in prayer and continue in a movement of growth. God's good that way. Everything with gratitude. Not only when you're needing something, but yes, when you're needing something. Not only when you're crying out for help, but yes, when you're crying out for help. Not only when you're frustrated or depressed, but yes, when you are. But always and everything at all times, cultivating this relationship with God. What could that look like for you? I think it helps cultivate something very important in the Christian life, a gratitude, just being grateful. giving thanks to God for even the simplest of gifts that he gives. Communion with God sounds like a good prayer life. Prayer is listening as well as talking. It's yielding as well as asking to be held. Yielding as well as asking, thank you. Being held as well as grasping. That in prayer we learn to trust and we learn to surrender. This is something that's so human to all of us. We just want to control and we want to grip and we want to hold on and we want to manipulate. We do this all the time. But why not sort of be consulting with God, communicating with God in constant communion so that these things aren't so hard or so striving or causes so much anxiety? We'll talk about some of that towards the end. No reason for fear, no need to hide. You know, we have plenty of weakness in our life, and we can bring it all to God. If we're lacking, it can lead us to more dependence. Just praying things like, "Not my will, but yours be done," with some regularity. Cultivating a relationship with God through prayer. What happens is God can reshape our desires. For me, I need some of that over my thought life, the things that I think, the interactions I have with people, the things I might come into contact or I might read, or I just need God's guidance all the time. Not just what I think, but Lord, what you think. Prayer can soften pride. Prayer can grow humility. I think prayer can give us patience where we're impatient, trust where there's doubt. I think it brings God's presence when we're lonely. I think God can really grow our compassion for others when we're engaged in a continual prayer, including towards ourselves, by the way. Having compassion for ourselves. In prayer, we can freely confess our sin, freely embrace God's forgiveness and love. We can freely submit to the Holy Spirit's whispers, maybe hear them and respond. We can walk more faithfully. So if it hasn't come through yet, I don't think I have a slide for this. We'll go to Sabbath next. Prayer is the habit of placing our whole life in God's hands, engaging in continual conversation in our life in God, with God. And this includes everything: our regrets, our strivings, our brokenness, our sin, our questions, our hopes, our dreams, everything. So what does this mean or look like, cultivating a relationship with God? It also looks like Sabbath. I wonder if I don't know. I won't do this, make you do it. But if I were to look at these three and we were to take a survey, like, which one do you feel like is your best go-to, would you be able to identify that? If there was one of these that you would be able to say, man, it's my worst, right? I think we did a little bit of this last week. In fact, somebody came up to me afterwards and they said, man, thanks for sharing your struggle with prayer, but that's my number one absolute fantastic best engagement in cultivating a relationship with God. And then they said, however, Sabbath. So which one is it? The three of these things are so core to a life of cultivating a life of loving God. You got to have them. Sabbath, I'm a doer. A lot of you in this room are doers. Maybe it's time in your life you think about developing a rule of life. Now you hear that and you're like, oh man, that sounds terrible. I'd be happy to share mine with you. I'd be happy to talk about it. Dion would too. Like a rule of life, like things that you can shape and put together some habits. Like what is most important to you? And how can you grow it in your life? How can you develop it? Well, loving God is a big one, if not the primary one. Out of that flows everything, love for others and for yourself. Is it time to just think about what could that look like? I'm not talking about making your life just one rigid. No. Actually opening up the door to better things for you. Sabbath, I think of all kinds of things. Journaling can be that. Going on a pilgrimage can be that. Just doing things that give you rest. A retreat can be that. Leaning into stuff that's just self-care for your soul, for your mind, and your body. The connection between Sabbath rest and humility, gratitude, detachment from and attachment are huge. Learning a discipline of just simply slowing. Not good at that. Simplicity. General unplugging. One of these days I'll have to throw in a bunch of research because today it's just crazy what's coming out in research with all of our fast-paced technological virtual world. There's so much communication and speed going on today. I don't know. Sometimes it just produces an insatiable thing. Sometimes I'm like, go for a bike ride. The best thing would be silence and just trying to commune with God more intentionally. Instead, I put on a podcast. Now, I'm not saying that's bad, but it's like you can listen to podcast after podcast after podcast, get more information, right? What about Sabbath? What does that look like for that? I think as human beings in our culture today, we're noticing a deficit that's being created in just the pit of our soul. We long for community. We really, truly do want to enjoy the creation, all the good gifts God gives, but we just don't think we have time, and we may not make the time. You know, the Heidelberg Catechism addresses this command and its exposition of gratitude. Isn't that interesting? It puts the commandments in gratitude, grateful living. And when it talks about the fourth commandment, right, the Sabbath day, it says, entering Sabbath rest is all about letting the Lord work in me through his Spirit. Every day resting from my evil ways, every day anticipating now the eternal life to come in Christ, to lean into that now. And in community, it's a day of engaging festive celebration, a good day for learning what God's Word teaches, participating in the sacraments, which we do, praying to God regularly, together publicly, we do, and taking up offerings for the poor. Now, that's a general statement that includes a lot. So how is that going for you? Are you able to stop? Are you truly able to stop? I'm going to say a couple words more about Sabbath. And then I'd like you just to take a moment to think and reflect on that and maybe think about just one practical thing that might have come out of today that you could lean into to grow in Scripture and prayer and Sabbath. When we lean into these things, I think our witness to the world is that we are grounded in a firm biblical worldview. Now you're like, what does that mean? Well, it will include things like this. When we engage in these things with regularity and with some discipline, and seeking God to grow in our relationship with him. We profess that God is sovereign over all things. Nothing exists outside his rule, his purpose, and for his glory. Nothing. At the center of this reality of our world, of God's story, and of our life and place in God's story, it says this: Jesus is Lord of our lives. It speaks it, it witnesses to it. Jesus reigns not only over personal faith in the church, but over every sphere of life. This is a faith that is quite big, that you trust him with every part of your life. The biblical worldview, I would say, and some people think, man, that's arrogant. I'm like, I don't think so. The only true and good worldview this world will ever truly know, as we come to know it, rejects any kind of divide in our life between sacred and secular. Now, maybe that requires more conversation. But all of life is lived, and I'm going to use a phrase that's been around for a while, coram Deo, meaning all of life is lived before the face of God. Every minute, every day, everything. You know, when you look at some of the first questions that God asks, brings to humanity when humanity's sin enters the world, think back to Genesis 1, 2, and particularly 3. They're hiding. What happened to this relationship with God, right? This oneness, intimacy, the thing we're looking for today still. And God says, where are you? What a great question. It's a good question for today. How are you doing? And they said, where are you? A close second is, what is this that you've done? We talked about the work of the Holy Spirit. And a third quickly follows. Who told you that you were naked? Great questions. Don't let the devil deceive you. This world belongs to God and everything in it. You who are in Christ belong to God and everything about you. Your everything in your life is all about cultivating a loving relationship with God. It's the greatest commandment. It's what you were created and made for, and what in Jesus Christ you were redeemed for. That's about as good of a summary as I can give today, I think. Whole life devotion to God. So, you take a moment, just reflect on what that sort of means for you, anything that was prompted by the Spirit today, and bring it to him in prayer today. Would you do that?
Lord, every person in this room has been created in the image of God, your image. Lord, everyone in this room longs for a deeper relationship with you. Lord, to be able to experience your presence in our life more deeply, to experience the working of your power in us more continually. Lord, to understand your purpose in our life, that in everything it's all for you. Lord, you desire close relationship with us. It seems like, wow, there can't be any better reason when you read Scripture. You so loved the world. You loved all that you made. You love us, and you just long for a deeper relationship with us. So God, this week, today, man, so some things are actually right, so readily accessible. Scripture certainly is. Come. Lord, prayer is. Lord, practicing Sabbath in the sense of its full-orbed invitation to rest from sin every day, certainly, But Lord, the specialness of just saying stop. For all kinds of reasons for our good. Lord, whatever leading and promptings you gave us by the Spirit today, would you help us to bring it to mind and to lean into it, that we don't just leave from here and forget, but that we actually are more transformed into the image of your Son. Amen. Let's stand.